Zions Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Zions Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is April 25th, 2013. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most just do not realize it, but we are in the time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682. And in an emergency, you can call me at 316-619-4886, 316-619-4886. And you folks out there that are listening to radio, if you do not do the Internet, then you can call me for any information that you might need. And you can, if folks that are on the Internet or can get on the Internet, you can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address at prophecyhour.com, prophecyhour.com. We also have a webpage at messiahsbranch.com that we're working on, but that will also lead you to where you need to be. Okay, now a prayer, and we'll bring on the first of tonight's two guests. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray, Father, I pray that radio goes tonight according to your will and not my will. And please give us all ears in which to hear the truth. So please, Father, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, tonight we have back on with us at IQ Hours Only. While I will let him tell you a little about himself, you should go to our past radio archives and listen to all his previous programs. If you want an education on what about Islam or what he calls Mohammedan Islam, then you need to go there and get educated. You would be surprised at these programs, and it's something that you need to do. Anyway, tonight he's going to bring us some of his insights into the bombings. So, IQ, are you there with me?
I'm with you.
Well, I'm really glad to have you. For a lot of people, when we get different audience all the time, kind of relate to them who you are and what point of view you're coming from.
Well, I was born in Iraq, so my mother tongue is Arabic. I spent 30 years of my life studying the subjects of Muhammad, Islam, Quran, Hadith, Arab-Zairi conflict, Middle East conflict, politics, the religion of this, the religion of pagan Arabia, the New Testament, the Hebrew Bible, and so on and so forth. So I tried to publish my books or my thesis to start with. I was refused by many of the publishing firms because I was too controversial. So I created my website, www.alrasooli.com. And anybody wanting to know about Islam, it's free of charge, by the way. Everything I do is free of charge. If you want to buy the book, that's up to you. My books are called the Trilogy, Volumes 1, 2, and 3, The Lifting the Veil, The True Faces of Muhammad and Islam. You don't have to buy them. You can download them. And you can listen to my audio videos with 312 of them. Each and every one of them addresses a facet of Islam. If you listen to the first 10 of them, you'll know more about Islam than 90% of the Muslims. Not you, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll tell you what, folks. He was on with us, and I guess that was last year. You were on with us for a little while, and let me tell you, I had never consistently, folks, I had him back week after week after week because he educated me. That I thought I knew about Islam, but he taught me something new every week and taught me about Muhammad and everything, and now the insights that I gained from you, IQ, I can better look and tell what is going on in the world, especially things like these bombings. You sent a letter out earlier this week, an email letter, with your insight of how you came to the conclusion that you figured this was a, you know, Islamic bombing. Would you care to tell us about that?
Well, the subject of the matter was called I Accuse. That was the title of my article. And what am I accusing? I'm accusing practically everybody on the planet, from Obama to Hillary Clinton to the Defense Department to CIA, FBI, the churches. What I want Americans to understand is that it is imperative that every single American who is not a follower of Muhammad, that is a Muslim, understand a very simple fact based entirely upon the Islamic belief system, that each and every single Muhammadan Muslim is a potential mass murderer. Each one of them is either a traitor in waiting or a traitor in action. They have no choice in the matter because they have to follow Sharia. Sharia demands this. These two young men were not, I repeat, were not radicalized by anyone. So the CIA, the FBI, and the intelligence service are literally doing the most stupid thing in the world. As followers of Muhammad, they only acted out the commands of the demon god called Allah to slaughter infidels, unbelievers, kuffar, kafirun. Because unbelievers are not human beings. You know, from the point of view of Islam, we unbelievers, not Muslims, are not human beings. Who says so? The Quran says so. Where? Al-Anfal, chapter 8, point 55. For the worst of beasts in the sight of Allah are those who reject Him. They will not believe. La yu'minuna. Now, somebody will say, I'm cherry-picking. Well, no, I'm not cherry-picking. I have over $1 million worth of challenges on the internet to every human being on the planet to prove me wrong. Over $1 million. After 4 years, I haven't paid a dime. Now listen to what they believe in. These are not my words. These are the words of the Muslim Brotherhood, president of Egypt. But they represent the Islamic point of view. It says, Allah is our objective. That's the name of their God. By the way, Allah is most definitely not the same as the God of Jesus, Moses, and Abraham. So let's take him out of the equation as a God. Anyway, what he says, Allah is our objective. Muhammad is our prophet. The Quran is our law. Jihad is our way. And dying in the way of Allah, وَالْمَوْتُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, is our highest aspiration. Now, any decent human being with two brain cells of logic should come to the following conclusion. You cannot make peace with Islam. Islam will not make peace with any human being who is not a Muslim. It's that simple. It says the Quran is their law. Well, if the Quran is their law, the American Constitution cannot be abided. And if jihad and dying for Sabilillah is their highest aspiration against infidels, that you and I and 80% of humanity, then they cannot be loyal American citizens. They cannot be loyal American citizens, no matter what anybody tells you. Take, for example, the two Chechen Muslims, young men wearing American attire, Nike. They live the American life. American citizens use their taxes to pay for their health, for their insurance, for their education. What? And how did they pay back America? With slaughter. But they are not the only ones. So when the American FBI is saying that we are looking for links to the Al-Qaeda, that's bullcrap. There are no links to Al-Qaeda. Every male Muhammadan Muslim is a potential member of Al-Qaeda. It doesn't matter where they are in the world. Why? They are reading the same script. They are reading the Quran. I mean, is it difficult to understand, Pastor Dan? I mean, should it be difficult?
Well, it's not difficult for me, but again, I have already been educated by you. The understanding of the matter is that they're all connected. They don't have to specifically be connected by knowing personally these guys, because these guys read all of their propaganda all over the world, and they're calling for a jihad in America, correct?
Correct. It's jihad against every human being. Ladies and gentlemen, let me put you in context. Okay. Our believers today are 80% of humanity. The Muslims are 20% of humanity, 1.5 billion people. But 5.5 billion people are not Muslim. These are the kuffar, the infidels, the unbelievers. And who are they? All Christians, Buddhists, Hindus, Jews, agnostics, atheists, anybody who is not a Muslim. Look what they're doing. You know, it's remarkable. We are in the 21st century. And the most persecuted people on the planet are Christians. Unbelievable. And nobody says anything. Obama doesn't say anything. The Vatican doesn't say anything. The Christian churches in Europe and America don't say anything. And the media doesn't say anything. And yet you watch them. They're doing it 24 hours a day. They're massacring and burning Christians in my country, Iraq. By the way, in my country, Iraq, in the year 2003, we had 1.25 million Christians. They are the oldest continuous living Christians on the planet. They are indigenous people. Today, there are less than 200,000. You know why? Because the Muslims and the Arabs got rid of the Jews. There are no Jews left. And what they have a saying in the Middle East, by the Sabbath is in Ahad, means after the Sabbath, Sabbath is Sabbath, comes Sunday. That means after finishing with the Jews, we finish with the Christians. And they're doing a fantastic job. They're doing a fantastic job. Every day they're killing Christians in Egypt, in Nigeria, in Pakistan, everywhere. And nobody says anything. In my article, I said, for these two terrorists and tens of thousands of others like them from the Arab and Islamic countries to have been allowed entrance and residence in the United States without a full background investigation of their origin and affiliation is a symptom of a disease that is destroying America and Europe's culture, her security and her heritage. This is the disease of political correctness and unlimited tolerance gone mad. Completely mad. Well, I want Americans who are listening to understand what tolerance is all about. I'm going to recite to you an axiom by a man called Karl Popper. It says, unlimited tolerance must lead to the disappearance of tolerance. If we extend unlimited tolerance, even to those who are intolerant, if we are not prepared to defend a tolerant society against the onslaught of the intolerant, then the tolerant will be destroyed and tolerance with them. We should therefore claim, in the name of tolerance, the right not to tolerate the intolerant. This is such a beautiful axiom, and it is so appropriate with Islam. Hence, we must never tolerate the intolerance of Islam and Sharia, nor allow them to soil our soil. By the way, those who tolerate evil are intolerant of good and intolerant of God. Back to you, sir.
Well, you say that we shouldn't let them in without better background checks, but from understanding Islam, at any time, even the most purest, so to speak, Muslim that has no background of jihad or anything could all of a sudden decide that they want to follow the Quran better and turn into what would be like this. The ones that we're calling radicalized technically are normal, and the ones that aren't being radical are actually being abnormal. So
Got it right. Why did you get it right? And the intelligence service that cost the American taxpayer hundreds of billions of dollars got it wrong. How is that possible?
You educated me.
It's so simple.
You educated me. And that's the problem. I don't think that... It makes me wonder, these people that are supposed to have such great educations and such great intelligence, why couldn't they have learned, just like I did, and you made, convinced me of it by listening to you, opening my mind, and on a few programs, and to a lot of listeners out there, now understand it. I don't get why they don't understand it. I really don't. And they're putting us in great danger.
I have been, so far, on 466 live radio interviews in America in the last 4 years. 466. I must have reached at least 15 million people. At least 15 million people. I get some emails. Many of them are, God bless you. And, of course, others which are, we will kill you, we will destroy you, and so on and so forth. From the Muslims. But what I cannot understand is that you are among the most educated people on earth. You have the most free country on earth. And yet, most of you are not willing to believe that so-called religion, Islam, which is not a religion. Islam is definitely not a religion. It's a cult belief system, the cult of Muhammad. Why? Because since Allah is not the same as the God of Jesus, Moses, and Abraham, then Islam is not a religion. It's that simple. What is the name of the God of the Israelites? Yahuwah. So how could it be Allah? When Moses asked the Almighty, who are you? He said, Yehiye. Do I know my subject? Yes, I know my subject extremely well. Whether it's in the Hebrew Bible, or the Christian Bible, or the Quran, or Buddhism, or Hinduism. I didn't spend 30 years of my life to have a single human being come against me and win a debate. Cannot be done. Sounds like a brag. It sounds like a boast. Well, it isn't.
Well, what about the challenges? So you have those at your website for the new people that are listening tonight?
All they have to do is Google my name. Just put in Google my name, Al-Rasuli, A-L-R-A-S-S-O-O-L-I, and try to take some money. I'm willing to give it. But you've got to earn it. You've got to prove me wrong. Somebody's got to prove me wrong. Cannot be done. No human being can do that. Why do I say that? Because I deal with facts. I deal with reality. Every single item I say has to be based on knowledge. Ladies and gentlemen, those who know something about the apocalypse, about Revelation, the four horsemen of the apocalypse of Islam are called knowledge, 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 and knowledge. Why? Because knowledge of Islam destroys Islam, like I do. Completely, utterly eradicates Islam, the cult belief system. I have never, ever advocated killing any human being, Muslim or otherwise. We don't have to. Pastor John from Florida, he burns the Quran. I had a debate with him. I told him that he's stupid, with all due respect.
Right.
He had a chance in a million when all the circus of the news media were around him not to burn the Quran, but to recite the verses of the Quran. He would have done more damage to Islam by reciting the verses of the Quran than burning a million Qurans. It's a meaningless and stupid act, burning the Quran. I always advocate that you read the Quran.
Absolutely, I agree. Hey, I had a question somebody put up on chat. It says, it seems obvious that the U.S. government is compliant with the wishes of Islam because they don't believe the government is stupid. They have been informed, yet they consistently fail. This seems unlikely to be just coincidence. What do you think Islam is offering the rulers of the government in return for government compliance?
Well, they're not offering anything. It's because Barack Hussein Obama, the president of America, is a Muslim. In my article, I accuse. Let them read it. All I ask people to do is this. Google Al-Rasuli, I accuse. And read it. It takes 10 minutes. No big deal. He was a Muslim. He is a Muslim. He never converted to Christianity. Who converted him to Christianity, by the way? Which priest?
Nobody.
Well, Pastor Wright was a Muslim. Pastor Wright hates America. Pastor Wright hates whites. And for 17 years, Obama was listening to the hate-mongering sermons of this pastor. and for 17 years nothing stuck in his brain? Bullcrap. Do me a favor. Wake up, America. Wake up.
I totally agree with you. I also believe that he's a Muslim, and we've talked about before about how Muslims can lie to protect themselves or to further Islam. And those things, folks, you can find by Googling IQ Al-Razouli, and you really should go to his website and check out those articles. If not, if you're over there on our site, you can look up the past programs that where we've talked about this, and believe me, he will educate you.
Well, I don't have any money involved, so I'm not asking you for any money. There's no gain in it for me. The gain is only for you, you guys. I want to wake you up. I don't want you to make a mistake, because it's not the destruction of yourself only. It is the destruction of the whole of Western civilization. That is what Islam wants. Ladies and gentlemen, there are 1,500 million followers of Muhammad on the planet Earth, on 57 Muslim-majority states. They are the least productive, least inventive, least creative in human history. And if somebody finds that objectionable or so-called racist, I dare this person to come against me because I can prove my point in less than 60 seconds. All I want is somebody to come against me.
Yeah, absolutely. So, IQ, will you come back on in another date with us and spend the whole hour with us and explain some of this stuff
again?
Pastor,
it's in your hand. You email me. You give me a few days' notice. I'll be with you at any time you want.
Okay, well, we're going to set you up for that, folks. We're going to bring him back, and if you have some subjects that you'd like for me to ask him on the air, let me know, because we're at a state where I thought you folks were actually educated, but seemingly not. So we're going to bring IQ back on and start educating us again. IQ, I'm really glad that you're on with me tonight. Would you tell them again how to Google your name? And I'm going to have to let you go.
Google Al-Razouli, Al-Razouli. God bless you, sir. Have a good day.
God bless you, too. Be blessed, brother. Okay, folks, we're going to go to a break in a couple minutes, and in the second half of this program, we're going to have an ex-CIA person on. Her name is Claire Lopez, and we're going to talk to her about a film called The Third Jihad, and naturally, this person has a lot of intelligence, or knows how to read intelligence and counter-terrorism issues, so she will be telling us about some things about the bombers, and so we'll be back in about 3 minutes.
Don't go away. Pastor Dan will be right back. Studies have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific. Americans for Immigration Control is a leading national organization dedicated to reasonable levels of legal immigration and effective enforcement to stop illegal immigration. With more than 250,000 members and supporters nationwide, we are an effective voice for immigration reform. AIC stands up in Washington for the views of most Americans on immigration. We are the leaders in stopping recent legislation to reward 10 million or more illegal aliens with legal status and eventual citizenship. The late Georgia Congressman Charlie Norwood had this to say about us. AIC has earned a reputation among members of Congress as one of the most active and responsive advocacy groups in the field of immigration. Join AIC today. For more information, go to our website, immigrationcontrol.com. That's immigrationcontrol.com or call 540-468-2023. That's 540-468-2023.
Food prices going up. Homes being foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people, your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
This is Pastor Dan, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Folks, please remember to pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. Of course, folks, the homeless or poor, but we're also talking about the poor people that come into our mission that still have roofs over their head but have been devastated by the economy. All these people come seeking help. Right now, we're seeing more and more women in the street every day, and we're moving fast towards trying to get the Women's Overflow Shelter open. If you folks that follow me, you know that we were donated a building for this purpose. We have 20 women or more waiting to get inside. And recently, when I spoke with the police officer, he reaffirmed that there is no place in Wichita to get for an emergency shelter for women at night. They just can't get them in anywhere. And so they're anxiously awaiting this. I was told today that we're ready to do the cleanup and everything, and so we could have this open in a couple of weeks. The problem is there has been no funding coming in for it. Yes, I told you folks that Wichita would support this, but they won't support it until it gets open. So we need to raise a few $1,000 to start the cleanup, to start the process going, and then I can call the news media and get other people involved and let them know what we're doing. But we have to get started. So we need your prayers to get this going, and we need your support. Again, many of the women hitting the street are young people. They just can't find jobs before they came out of abusive households. You know, the huge amount of college-age people that are out there on the street, you would be amazed. Anyway, these are women, and if you don't find a woman a place to be within the first week to 10 days after getting out, hitting the street, then sometimes they completely disappear, and their family looks for them, nope, they're nowhere to be found. Or they get put into prostitution, human trafficking, all of these things. And so while my heart cries for men, too. The women and the children are really first, of course. And why do so many people come to us for help? Because love is the first answer, and then they're treated as family. That's the second answer. Beyond that, we have no set guidelines like programs. We don't have any programs. people just walk in the door and they ask. That's the rule. Then if we do not have the way to fill their need, we pray it in. This is why the agencies tell all their employees about the Father's Little Mission Church. You see, when guidelines stop them from helping, they send them to us. People who have millions of dollars in their budget send people to a place that really has no budget. We're the very last hope for so many. We are responsible, folks, to care one for another, as we are our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, help. And the Father notices all donations that come from your heart. You can donate online or by mailing a check or money order. You can find all this information at prophecyhour.com, or you can call me. If you folks that are listening to radio out there and you don't do the Internet, like I know a lot of you don't, you can call me at 620-878-4682. 620-878-4682. And now we're back, and our guest now is Claire M. Lopez. She's a strategic policy and intelligence expert with a focus on national defense, Islam, Iran, and counterterrorism issues. Currently is a senior fellow at the Center for Security Policy, Clarion Fund, and Gatestone Institute, and vice president of the Intelligence Summit. She formerly was career operations officer with the Central Intelligence Agency, yes, the CIA, so she should be up on what she's doing. A professor at the Center for Counterintelligence. She's also has been a professor at the Center for Counterintelligence and Security Studies, executive director, and her list of credentials just seems to go on and on and on. She's already an advisor to EMP Act America. In February 2012, Ms. Lopez was named a member of the Congressional Task Force on National and Homeland Security with focuses on EMP. That's a big threat to our nation. She's a deputy director of the U.S. Counterterrorism Advisory Team for the Military Department of the South Carolina National Guard. She serves as a member of the Board of Advisors for the Center for Diplomacy and Human Rights in Saudi Arabia, the Clarion Fund, the Institute of World Affairs. This woman's credentials just go on and on. I'm going to call her on because otherwise we're going to spend all our time just talking about her. Are you there with me, Claire?
Yes, hello. Thanks very much for having me.
Wow, you have quite a... How do you find time for all that?
Oh, well, I'm not doing it all at once.
Okay, but, you know, I do radio, and I do radio a few times a week, and we're opening a woman's shelter, and I have a mission church, and I also do the news every day, but you seem to have much more up there than what I do.
Well, some of that is sequential. It's not, you know, it's not all going on at the same time.
Oh, really? Well, so you had a career in the CIA, and so you should be pretty up on this. Let's start off. Well, I've got really a lot of questions I'd like to ask. Let's start this off with what about the bombers? What aren't we seeing in the media about these bombers?
Well, I think there are a lot of things we're not seeing, and now, of course, that the surviving two of these Tsarnaev brothers, the younger brother Dzhokhar, you know, has been read his rights and lawyered up, we're not going to hear a whole lot more. It was just about the time when he started to talk about his and his older brother, now dead, Tamerlane Tsarnaev, started to talk about their motivation as being Islam, that the Department of Justice rushed in and got him his rights read. A couple of things we're not seeing. One is the full meaning of what that motivation means. When they say that they were motivated by Islam, that's what they mean. These are Muslim jihadis. These guys, these two brothers, are true and faithful believers of Islam. They followed, they learned, they believed in the doctrine and the law and the scripture of Islam. They took it farther than most Muslims in the world. They went to the action part of it. Most Muslims do not. Thank goodness, and may they multiply and be fruitful. The other thing I think we're missing here is the broader connections of this plot. We know that the older brother, Tamerlane, was over in the Caucasus. This is that sort of southern region of Russia that includes Chechnya, the ancestral homeland of the Tsarnaev family. And he was over there in 2011, 2012. In 2012, he spent as much as 6 months or more in the Caucasus somewhere, perhaps Dagestan. That's where his father lives. That's one of the republics there next door to Chechnya. What was he doing there with a young wife and a small baby left alone at home with no means, visible means of support? What was he doing? Well, there are some good ideas that we can at least consider, I think, and that is that there has long been an Islamic Jihad movement in the Caucasus for about 1,000 years, as a matter of fact, because that's how long ago the Islamic armies conquered that region and butted up against the Slavic armies that held them at that line at the Caucasus. One of the most important groups, the biggest, perhaps the most influential in the region right now, is something called the Caucasus Emirate. It is led by a Chechen. His name is Doku Umarov. And in 2007, for what it's worth, Doku Umarov told the world in a video that he was an enemy of the United States of America, along with Britain and Israel. Now, that group is still active and alive and operating in the Caucasus region. Is that who the older brother, Tamerlane, went to meet? We know that the Dagestani police in the capital, it's called Makhachkala, in the capital of Dagestan, saw Tamerlane meeting with some Islamic jihadi figure type, they don't identify who it was, in a mosque that was identified as Salafist in nature, not just once, six times. Why aren't the American media reporting these things?
That was my previous guest. We were talking much about the same thing, and I've also on this program, I don't know, it seems to be some kind of strange political correctness. I thought that after 9/11 we would be more aware, and in the things that I've educated to me myself about Islam is that, you know, we really need to be more watching, but it doesn't look that. It looks like entirely the opposite, that we're giving them a free pass on those.
Yeah, you're absolutely right there. But I would give you another way, perhaps, to think about violent attacks like 9/11. Those kinds of terror attacks correspond to verses directly taken out of the Quran. Of course, 860 comes to mind. Strike terror to the enemy. Prepare your power to the utmost of your ability, including steeds of war, to strike terror into the heart of the enemy. That sort of verse. The purpose of those violent attacks, and of course the ones in London, Madrid, Israel, of course, perennially all the time getting hit, other places as well, the purpose of the violent attacks is to soften up the population, to instill terror, until the point where the population itself begs its leadership, do something, offer a concession, concede something, appease them, just stop the attack, stop the killing. And that's precisely what's happened here in the United States since 9/11. We have permitted the infiltration of the Muslim Brotherhood into the top levels of our national security policy-making circles, and they are influencing our policy now. And that policy has become one of appeasement. It has become one of actually, literally, arming, funding, training, and supporting Al-Qaeda, believe it or not, in the Middle East, in Libya, and in other places, perhaps like Syria, too.
Well, absolutely. I'm really glad I got you on. We've spoken, I don't know if you've ever heard of Waleed Shubat.
Of course, sure.
Yeah.
He's a wonderful researcher. He's fantastic.
Yeah, amen. He's been on the program several times. In fact, he was on just a few weeks ago, just before this bombing happened, and we were talking about his new book, Islamophobia, and so we're educated to a certain extent. But, you know, my point that I was going to get at, well, I was glad to hear you say that about the Muslim Brotherhood. Some of these people that I see are their advisors to the president, to me, don't look like in a normal presidency they would have even passed a security clearance.
Well, they couldn't, because just as you are getting at there, they are affiliates, associates, and even operatives of the Muslim Brotherhood. We can name all kinds of names. Let's begin with Mohammed Majid. Mohammed Majid is the president of an organization called the Islamic Society of North America, ISNA. It is the largest and probably the most widespread of all the Muslim Brotherhood front groups in the United States. I didn't name it a Muslim Brotherhood front group, the Muslim Brotherhood did, in a document presented as evidence by the Department of Justice itself, prosecution in the 2008 Holy Land Foundation Hamas terror funding trial. Documents of the Muslim Brotherhood were presented as evidence against this foundation that was channeling millions of dollars to Hamas. And one of those documents had a list, a very convenient list, in which the Muslim Brotherhood said, this is the list of our friends and the organizations of our friends. And what's on there? ISNA, as well as other organizations well known to the Muslim public in this country, the Islamic Circle of North America, the IIIT, so-called International Institute of Islamic Thought, North American Islamic Trust that holds the deeds of trust to about 80% of mosques in this country, Muslim Brotherhood funded by Saudi Arabia. So that's where all this comes from. Mohammed Najib, A-list invitee to the White House and top, number one go-to man advisor for the National Security Council of the United States.
Well,
just one example.
That's obscene, you know. At least I think that's obscene. So I don't, you know, it seems like we're headed really deep to a bad place, because let's clarify one thing. You know, in the first of your thoughts, you were saying that they followed the scripture and everything. In other words, they were like fundamentalist Christians, so to speak. They were following, you know, the Quran. So does that mean that every Muslim has a potential to decide one day that they want to follow the Quran deeper and be a problem?
Well, let me say, first of all, that the vast majority of Muslims in this entire world, hundreds of millions of them, don't even know what's in the Quran or the law, the Sharia. And for those even who do know, most of them don't want much to do with it. They just want to live their lives. Most Muslims approach Islam, as most Christians do, Jews do, Buddhists do, Hindus do, as a devotional faith. Something that involves prayer, congregation, maybe some dietary regulations, maybe pilgrimage, proselytizing, all the sorts of things that are totally 100% covered under our First Amendment to the Constitution.
Right.
But because the doctrine, the law, the scripture of Islam, and I mean the Quran, I mean the Hadith, I mean the law, or the biography of Muhammad called the Sirah, all command Muslims to jihad, to conquer the infidel, to fight war against the infidel until all the world is conquered for Allah. Because the Islamic faith demands this, Muslims who become, as the older brother in the Tsarnaev brothers, Tamerlane was reported to have done by the Russians when they told this to the FBI, when they study, when they become more devout, more practicing as Muslims, that is where the potential exists for further movement toward becoming a jihadist. Doesn't mean they will, but it's certainly there. And then it's authorized. This is not extremist. This is not radical or twisted or hijacked Islam. This is mainstream Islam, straight up the middle, authoritative, orthodox.
Right, absolutely. And you confirmed what our first guest, which was an ex-Muslim on that said the same thing. As a security person, how do we look at this? I really don't see what we can do. I mean, what do we look for?
We have a great deal to do. I'm not sure if I expected of this particular administration we have right now, but
amen.
With the deep penetration of the Muslim Brotherhood into our government service, and especially at the top levels of national security, the first thing that I think another administration must do in coordination with Congress is to name the Muslim Brotherhood as a hostile foreign power. We cannot, under current law, call them or put them on the foreign terrorist organizations list because they don't meet that criteria. But they need a new law, a new category, hostile foreign power, whose supreme leader, by the way, Mohammed Badia is his name, actually literally declared war on the United States in September, late September 2010. It was translated for us by the excellent online service called MEMRI, M-E-M-R-I, Middle East Media Research Institute.
Yeah.
And they translated his declaration of war. Well, the State Department is a little slow on things sometimes, but about 9 months later, apparently, then-Secretary of State responded by what? She granted full diplomatic recognition to the Muslim Brotherhood. Now, this has to stop. Muslim Brotherhood must be declared a hostile foreign power because it declared war on the United States, because it declares itself to be a jihadist organization dedicated to jihad, dedicated to dying in the way of jihad for Allah.
That's absolutely. Absolutely, and I agree with you about this administration, and they've proven it. You know, as a Christian, I say we know people by their fruits, and the fruits so far, you know, they're not subject to change. Look at Egypt. The Muslim Brotherhood, well, it's sitting in Egypt, and Egypt is the Christians are dying, and the country's in an uproar, and we're sending them money. It doesn't make sense. I've got
money
a couple of
weapons, right? Tanks and planes.
Tanks and money. Yeah, I have one fellow on. He said he wasn't really worried about the Israelis could take care of the planes, but it was all the tanks that would roll across the desert that he was worried about. In either case scenario, it's guns, tanks, money, whatever. I can't see how we're justified in any way, shape, or form. I think Benghazi was all about gun running to the Muslims myself, but that's my personal. Go ahead.
I agree with you, actually. But I think it goes back further than that, because in the spring of 2011, when the Libyans rose up in revolt against Muammar Gaddafi, Gaddafi had actually been helping the United States and the West to put al-Qaeda in a box, well, in jail, as a matter of fact, to keep AQIM, al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghreb, down. We turned against him. For what reason? Well, I can suppose a reason: to save the revolution. And who was running that revolution? Some tribal elements. It's a very tribal society in Libya, opposed to Gaddafi. And al-Qaeda militias. The United States administration did not want to see those al-Qaeda militias fail in their revolt. And so we began to provide aid to them. Money and weapons, and eventually NATO warplanes, no-fly zones, strikes against the Gaddafi government forces until he was ousted. Who took his place? Al-Qaeda and the Muslim Brotherhood, and we helped put that in power. We helped do that. Why? I would suggest partly because of Muslim Brotherhood influence on our top levels of security policy.
Yeah, like Hillary's advisor. I want to ask you, were you really educated? I want to ask you about a couple other things I noticed that is important. The Clarion Project, what is that? Tell that to the people. We got about 5 minutes to clean this
sure,
up. So what's the Clarion Project?
Yes, the Clarion Project is a nonprofit educational organization, a 501c3, which is dedicated to education about Islam, about Islamic jihad and Sharia. You can find them at clarionproject.org. And for this week, at that website, you can see a movie called The Third Jihad, for free, streaming over that website, clarionproject.org. Third Jihad is about the Muslim Brotherhood infiltration of the United States. Very informative, very well worth the approximately 1 hour or so that it runs. And so I'm affiliated with the Clarion Project, of course, and I do write, as do some of my colleagues. At that website, you can catch some of our columns, as well as the Third Jihad film this week.
Right. Right now, folks, I'm looking at the Clarion Project, and let me tell you, this is going to be one of my major sources of news. And you, folks, you need to get out there and go over there. And the Third Jihad, I have seen that before, and that's a fantastic movie. You need to, people need to get involved with that. I have to ask you, what's this EMP project?
I'm sorry, again, I just didn't quite catch.
Okay, I completely switched gears on you. I asked you about the EMP thing that you're involved with.
Oh, EMP, gotcha. EMP stands for electromagnetic pulse. It is a nuclear weapon of very small explosive power, 1 to 3 kiloton range, which is exploded in the atmosphere, 30 to 500 kilometers above the Earth, kills nobody, destroys nothing on Earth at its explosion, but it fries our electric system. It takes down the electric grid, because in the United States and the Canadian grid, which is connected to ours, because the civilian electric grid is completely unprotected. There is a bill in Congress that people, please ask your representatives in Congress to get to a vote on the floor. It is called the SHIELD Act. It would appropriate money, not that much, by the way, to shield our electric grid system. The other thing about that is that both North Korea and Iran appear to be working on this weapon. It's already in the arsenals of Russia, China, and, of course, us, the United States, and we suppose, perhaps, the Israeli arsenal as well. But the point being, the North Koreans and the Iranians are directly working on this, aiming it at us, and have demonstrated, the North Koreans, that they've got the missile range to reach continental United States right now and Canada, and also to put a satellite into orbit on a southerly polar trajectory, which means it comes up at us out of the south, where we have zero missile defense systems, no radar, no missiles, no defense, nothing in the south. All of our defenses are concentrated in the north, NORAD, Canada, NORTHCOM, because that's where the Soviet threat once
right.
upon a time was expected to come from. Now the
right.
North Koreans can come at us from the south. Or just park it on a ship, a fishing trawler off either coast, launch it up to the middle of the country over Kansas someplace, explode it up there. We're back to Little House on the Prairie overnight, instantaneously. It is estimated that 9 out of 10 Americans would be dead within a year if this happened.
From just loss of services? And we, I mean, you take us
loss
back to the
services. Exactly. Think of this. There'd be no more food deliveries, no more communication, no more transportation, no more hospital and medical services, no more gasoline, no more energy, no more fuel, no more telecommunications. All of that is gone. Gone in a blink. Blink of an eye.
Well, I'm really glad to see you involved with that. Like I say, you're involved with a lot. I've only got about a minute to let you give a website or something that you want to send the people to, and I really appreciate you being on with us.
Thanks so much for having me, and for all you're doing to get the word out about these important issues. Please, listeners, take a look at the Clarion Project, clarionproject.org. Have a look at the movie, The Third Jihad. And if you've got any spare time, go to centerforsecuritypolicy.org and have a look at our book, Sharia, The Threat to America. Thanks so much.
All right. Well, thanks for being on with me. God bless you, and maybe we'll do it again sometime. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
All right. Folks, I was a little surprised. You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, somebody that's been in the CIA, they would be more prone towards the government. She spoke it like it was. Did you not hear her? She did not. Well, IQ Al Rizzoli, you heard in the first part of the program, they confirmed each other in what she said. You know, so we know out of the mouth of two witnesses a thing is established. We are in trouble. If you just think Islam is nothing, then you're in trouble. Absolutely. Anyway, I project to you these people are the armies of the Antichrist. Anyway, we must get going. Please pray about supporting the Wichita Mission Church. But above all, we need to raise a few thousand dollars to get work done on the other building. We must remember, folks, that there is only one God. He is the Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for our repented sins. He rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And only through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, they say Allah has no son. He who denies the son denies also the Father, and that's the spirit of Antichrist. And so, folks, again, pray for the peace of the world, but there will be no real peace till Yeshua returns. Lord our God, Yahweh, Father, King, Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you and gives you peace until the first day of the week. Then this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.